Matthew chapter 1 in your Bibles, we're going to read verse 18 down through verse 25 as we begin. I've titled this Joseph's Test of Faith. Joseph's Test of Faith. We've looked, of course, through this year at the just shall live by faith. May our faith be seen in 2016. I trust that as we've looked at that topic, it's been a help to you, an encouragement to you. Joseph's test of faith. Let me give you just a little preamble before we look at the scriptures. We know that God, in his omniscience, determined that Joseph and Mary would be the parents to direct the upbringing of Jesus Christ. For those of you who have children, if you're like I am, you are at the hospital and you look at this little baby and you realize that you have in your arms a lifetime of responsibility. But think with me about Joseph for a little bit. Joseph's told here in the scripture we're going to read that the child that's going to be born, the child that he's going to be responsible for, is the Son of God. The child he's going to be responsible for is the King of Kings. How do you think he felt about his responsibility as a father? Years ago, I wrote a poem, and I don't even know what's happened to it, but the first line I remember, how can I, just a carpenter, raise one who is born a king? What a challenge for Joseph. A humble carpenter, uneducated by the standards even back then, who'd been educated up in the synagogue until he was 11 or 12 years old, and then went to work. Not trained in the niceties of even Jerusalem, the palace of a king, but yet he will raise a king. Let me bring that a little closer to home, though. We as Christians have a responsibility to raise children who are a child of the King. We have a responsibility, a great responsibility for us, even as Joseph had a great responsibility, to raise children who are children of the King. Joseph's test of faith. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at this matter tonight and look at Joseph, and help us to, as best as we can, put ourselves in his shoes. Try to understand the circumstances he was faced with and the choices he had to make and the right choices he made. As he faced something I'm sure he didn't feel he was prepared for and never thought he would face. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to consider those things and to allow you to test our faith and stretch our faith, that you might be pleased with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. See several thoughts in this portion of Scripture. First, we see that the scene is set in verse 18. A discovery is made. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph and Mary were engaged. They're in their espousal period, and they were considered legally married. They did not live together. The end of the espousal time would be a marriage, and they'd begin their life together. I'm sure neither of them, as they went through these circumstances, had any inclination that God would interrupt their lives in such a radical way. We know before God speaks to Joseph here, the angel appears to Mary back in Luke chapter 1. Angel visits Mary and tells her that she is going to conceive a child of the Holy Ghost, not knowing a man. That child is the Son of God. It seems that Mary and Joseph didn't talk about this. How could she? How could she come to Joseph? And it just was beyond the realm, I think, of possibility. And Mary was found to be pregnant with a Christ child. We don't know how Joseph found out. Did she, as her pregnancy began to progress, did she, in a quiet moment, tell him? Did others find out? Maybe Mary's father took some responsibility and came to Joseph and said, this is what's happening. It seems that either Joseph, in this first verse, either did not know the circumstances of her pregnancy, or maybe he didn't believe him. This had never happened before in all of human history. You can understand his concern. You can understand his doubt. And so, understanding that, we see in verses 19 and 20, a choice must be made. The dilemma. A choice must be made. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, a choice must be made. I don't know how long Joseph struggled with this choice. I don't know how long he had to consider what happened and the circumstances. I don't know. But it tells us that several things that he knew the child was not his. His only conclusion was Mary had been unfaithful. That's the only logical conclusion by any thinking individual, that Mary had been unfaithful. Think of the heartbreak. A man and a young woman, good families. And Mary had been unfaithful, is what he thought. He knew the Old Testament. It says, if you're not willing to make her a public example. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 21, we go back there, tells us that the law's prescription in this circumstance was public shaming and stoning. And the choice was Joseph's. Joseph struggled. He was a just man. He loved this young woman. He had three choices: have her shamed and stoned, continue with the espousal and everyone let everyone think that the child was his, or to quietly end the espousal, leave Mary on her own with the child. None of them easy choices. But I'm glad that Joseph did not jump to conclusions, did not make a hasty decision. Because usually decisions we make in haste, or decisions we make when we don't have enough or the right information, are wrong decisions. So we see the three thing, the third thing in our outline this evening: a dream enlightens. In verse 20 and 21, a dream enlightens him. It says, last part of verse 20, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It seems that Joseph made the decision to put her away privately. He was content in his decision. He went to sleep. I talked to somebody a while ago, just a couple days ago, and something had happened, and he said he was up half the night worrying about it. We've all done it. Circumstances have come. We don't know the end, the beginning, or the conclusion of those circumstances, and we can't sleep. But here we find that Joseph is content in his decision and goes to sleep. Dreams in the Bible are much more than dreams today. We all have some strange dreams. We all have dreams. Sometimes if I'm busy and I have something to do the next day that is different for me, or something I haven't done before, or something that I know I may struggle with a little bit, I'll dream about that the night before, about doing that. It's just my subconscious mind clearing things out, I guess. But God in the Bible often spoke through dreams. If we go back and look at Joseph in the Old Testament, you see, Joseph had dreams, and those dreams directed his life. Now this Joseph has a dream. If we look, it won't take time, we can look at three different dreams Joseph has. But this dream was specific to him. Because in the dream, the angel says, "Joseph, thou son of David." Reminds him of a couple of things. Reminds him, first of all, this, I'm talking to you. Secondly, he reminds him of his royal heritage. "Thou son of David." The genealogy in the first verses there, for our benefit, Joseph knew he was of royal heritage. Did God address what Joseph feared the most? To take Mary and the baby as his own. It was something he never dreamed he'd have to face. A circumstance that was very unusual in those days. And then God explains, of course, the circumstances of Mary's pregnancy. "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Even in a dream, even the angel of God speaking to you has to be a little difficult to take. But God tells Joseph that you have some responsibility. He says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." You have the responsibility, Joseph, to name this child. Very important responsibility in Bible times, and certainly an important responsibility for us in our time. The names of our children, the names of our grandchildren. Joseph, you're going to take ownership. You're going to take responsibility. So the dream enlightens him. And the fourth thing we see is the scripture is fulfilled. The scripture is fulfilled. Now all this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This seems to be a parenthesis put in for our information. 700 years before, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The scripture is fulfilled. Let me just pause here a minute and consider this thought, a virgin shall conceive. Many liberal theologians today would say, and many versions of scripture would say, a young woman or a would there instead of a virgin. But those who know the languages the Bible was originally written in understand that this word that is used here only refers to a young woman who has never known a man. When Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it was specific, and those who read in the book of Isaiah understood that. And here in Matthew and in Luke, where we find the scripture, we find that it's very specific. And the first century readers who read these texts understood that this was a young woman who had never known a man. And that certainly is vital, because Jesus Christ could not be born of the seed of man, because he then would carry the sin of Adam. If he carried the sin of Adam, then on the cross, some 33 years later, he would have to pay for his own sin, because he would be a sinner by birth. He must be born only of the seed of woman. Fulfilling Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, Now put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then we see number 5, our last thought this evening, the faith of Joseph. Verse 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. I'm not sure when the wedding had actually been planned. But after this dream, Joseph was no longer fearful. He was no longer concerned. I'm sure he understood there would be talk, there would be questions, there would be rumors that would fly about Nazareth. But he put it all behind him. And said, I'm going to do as the word of God commands. They proceeded with the wedding. They were married. It says he took unto him his wife. They didn't have relations until after Jesus was born. Then Joseph took the responsibility for his son and called his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. It's the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament name of Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. A test of faith on the part of Joseph. A test that I think tore at his heartstrings. A test that shook the foundation of what he believed was going to happen and should happen. But a test that he passed. See, God brings tests to our lives not to try to make us fail. But God brings tests to our lives that we might succeed. A couple thoughts in conclusion. We all face circumstances where we honestly do not know what to do. Joseph had three options. He thought on those things and he struggled with that. What do I do? What is right to do in these circumstances? We know now, reading from Scripture, the right answer. But we put ourselves in the place of Joseph and we would struggle with that. All choices are not equal. Different choices have different outcomes. Somehow that we've got to the place in society where people say that, well, you know, what's good for you is good for you and good for me, you know, and that's your choice and this is my choice, and, you know, no. You see, we come to the most important choice a man will ever make. The choice of where you're going to spend eternity, and there's only one answer to that. Only by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior can your eternity be settled in heaven. We see, and you know, we were talking with someone just before the service, that, you know, religions teach that, well, if you come to our religion, if you get baptized, or we put oil on you, or if you say these things, or if you come from the right family, or if you, you know, that all these things, that if you make these choices, no, that's not the case. Because the Bible is the authority. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. We see the world religions seem to be forced upon us today, that religion is, you know, that Hinduism or Shintoism or Islam or Christianity or any of the other isms you can name around the world, they're all just different choices going to the same end, but that's not what the Bible says. Third thought, the first thing you think, what you first think you should do could be wrong. What you first think you should do could be wrong. Take time to seek wisdom from God and from His Word. I believe the Bible has all the answers. The Bible might not specifically mention exactly your circumstance, but the Bible has principles that guide us. Make the decision by faith and be complete in your obedience. Make the decision by faith and be complete in your obedience. I think of the faith of Joseph. He was ready to set this young lady aside, to leave her to raise this child, because that was the only thing he really reasonably thought he could do. God interrupts in a dream. God's word came to him in a dream. And God's word directed him. And he said, as God's words direct me, I'm going to carry it out to the letter. And that's what he did. Make the decision and be complete in your obedience. Many times we fall short because we make the right decision, but we fall short in our obedience to that decision. We come and you say, well, you know, in this circumstance, maybe I shouldn't, but Joseph was complete. She brought forth her firstborn son, and he took responsibility. Jesus Christ was not biologically his son. But the fact that it says, he called his name Jesus. Joseph said, I'm taking responsibility for the upbringing of this child. Joseph's test of faith. A test that we'll never face something like that. But we face tests on a regular basis to try our hearts and our minds in much the same way that this test tried Joseph. Will we pass? Let's pray together.